The issue of privatised prisons has once again come into the fore with the emergence over the last week of a series of videos showing inmates participating in organised fight clubs, smoking drugs and allegations of extortion and rape in Serco-run Mount Eden Prison. In 2011, then Justice Minister Judith Collins signed over Mount Eden Prison to Serco for 10 years at a cost of $300 million. So, who are Serco? They won the contract to manage all of Australia's mainland facilities and Christmas Island in 2009. Australian journalist Anthony Lowenstein was part of a team that first published the contract between Serco and Canberra in 2011. Anthony is an independent journalist based in South Sudan, which has some of the world's worst phone lines, by the way. He's a Guardian columnist and author of the forthcoming book Disaster Capitalism, Making a Killing Out of Catastrophe. So who are Serco? They deal in security, but what else do they deal in?
Serco, the British multinational, has been around for decades, and until relatively recently, it was a company that virtually nobody had heard of. These days, it runs everything from a number of prisons to detention centres for immigration to a number of other contracts in the UK, in Australia, in the US. And I think ultimately what's happened in the last few years, particularly in the US and Australia and the UK, it's been involved in so many controversial issues, and now we see what's happening in New Zealand. The problem is the corporate culture that exists within Serco, that I would argue that many governments who make deals with them are well aware of, but they accept the argument, falsely in my view, that they'll save some money on the contract without thinking about the political ramifications.
You actually said in your book, understanding the inner workings of the notoriously secret Serco has been one of the great challenges in this project. Can you explain that a bit? How so?
In the majority of cases that I found in Australia and indeed in the UK and the US, both sides, the government and the corporation, refuse to release information. So in Australia, for example, the problem has been that when something goes wrong, neither side wants to speak. So unless you have a whistleblower, unless you have a guard who wants to speak, asylum seeker who wants to speak, and both sides, of course, risk when they their jobs or their livelihood or freedom, it's very, very hard to get information, very hard to use Freedom of Information Act, which I've used constantly in Australia, but often the government blocks that information. Of course, let's face it, it's a private corporation. So how do you use freedom of information on a company that is essentially private? That's the essential problem.
How profitable are these sorts of organisations, Anthony?
Serco, until recently, was incredibly profitable. But Serco actually has found itself in an incredibly tough financial situation for one very good reason. A few years ago, Serco and G4S, which is another large British multinational, was found guilty of essentially over-challenging for electronic tags for prisoners who have been released, many of whom, in fact, were dead. This was discovered. Both companies fined huge amounts, and the result was that Serco actually started losing a lot of business. People didn't trust Serco anymore. It's now run by a guy called Rupert Soames, who, would you believe, actually is the grandson of Winston Churchill in the UK. He's trying to put the company back on track. And one of the things that I discovered in the book that I'm releasing this year is that in some ways the issue is not Serco. Serco has been around for years. Serco will probably survive. The issue is that other companies are doing exactly the same things with simply a different name. And they haven't got the kind of tarnish that Serco does. So what I would say to people who are campaigning against Serco or being critical of them, the issue here is the ideological reason that the New Zealand government, the Australian government, other governments outsource the Serco is a belief somehow that so-called efficiency here is the issue. But in fact, when we're dealing with prisoners or asylum seekers, we are deliberately putting them in hands of companies who reduce staffing and spend as little as possible on them. And I know in New Zealand that one of the criticisms in some of these prisons where Serco is running is that they deliberately understaff. And I saw this in Australia and the UK over and over and over again. And the results obviously are very clear. A lack of service and people's human rights, both the guards and the detainees, suffer.
You've touched on the wider issue, haven't you? And that is whether or not a country's prison system should be outsourced to a private company. Anthony, what is the matter of contracting prison services out if it is well run, if it is run efficiently?
Well, look, in theory, nothing. And I'm, again, this is obviously everyone has a different personal view. I'm not arguing, and the evidence that I've gathered over the last year suggests that because a prison or a detention centre is run by the government, in any country, New Zealand, Australia, the US, the UK, that makes it a well-run prison. There are countless examples of publicly run institutions that are run terribly, people's rights are breached, etc. However, and it's a very important however, in many cases, when they're outsourced to a private corporation, and there are undoubtedly exceptions, there are some, for example, in Scotland, they're run by private corporations that actually have run pretty well. The ability to get information, accurate information, reduces even more so than when run in public hands. And staffing levels often are reduced, human rights are reduced. The ability for the public, who after all are paying the taxpayer dollars to a corporation, the ability for them to get accurate information about what's happening inside the prison, except, as I said before, if a whistleblower actually comes forward, is very much reduced. To me, it's a problem for democracy, because ultimately, if taxpayers are contributing to a prison or detention centre or other kind of area where vulnerable people are living, should it be appropriate in a democracy for these individuals to be getting the least amount of care, regardless of what the company says? And believe me, Wallace, over the years, you hear the company constantly saying, we give the best kind of care, the best kind of medical care, the best kind of staffing. Their own figures, during the research for my book, I got leaked information from Serco Australia about staffing. When more people arrived in Australia, asylum seekers, when numbers went up for asylum seekers, Serco staff went down. They hired less people. Now, the result of that obviously is very clear. They want to make more money, which is their right in a capitalist society, but the effect on the guards and the asylum seekers is the problem, and of course they suffer because of that. That, to me, is the key problem here, and Serco is just one of many companies who are doing that.
I'm speaking with independent journalist Anthony Lowenstein, who has looked and written and researched about Serco, both in his book Prophets of Doom and in The Guardian. But as has been revealed, Anthony, just that Serco had to pay an abatement fee, I think it was about $300,000, because, you know, they didn't subscribe to the usual corrections. They didn't sort of check off the list. So there is an abatement system. Isn't there?
There is an abatement system, and I also read, as you say, that Serco is going to pay a $1 fine in New Zealand, which is wonderful, except the problem is that in many countries, and again, I think in Australia and the US and the UK, especially in prisons and detention centres, managers are directed not to report problems to higher up staff, to reduce abatement. In other words, the contract itself will state, if such and such goes wrong, the company pays a fine to the government, which is great in theory, but in practical reality, as I said, in all the countries I looked at, in many, many cases, abatements were not paid, and the government was happy to not accept that kind of payment. And I say that because in New Zealand, it's because of such a huge controversy, the government has to be seen to be doing something. That's seem to be taking some action against them. But in Australia, sadly, and in the UK and the US, this issue is often not that controversial. What I mean is that both major sides of politics, in Australia mostly, in the US generally, and in the UK mostly, believe the idea that these companies should run these institutions. So they have no real incentive to actually deeply investigate whether things are going wrong inside. So when you have staff members in Australia from Serco telling me, as many of them have, we saw countless breaches happening, and yet we realised at the end of every month, when contractually Serco was supposed to pay a fine, nothing happened because the manager above us had been told from head office, do not report anything, because if you do, you will have to pay an abatement and a fine, and you will maybe lose your job. That's the practical corporate culture inside a company like Serco. So yes, now and then abatements are paid, as we're seeing in New Zealand, but that's only because the issue has caused such a big public outcry. That's the problem with this kind of secretive contractual system that exists.
Anthony Lowenstein speaking from South Sudan. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
What do you think? Do you think prisons should be in private hands? I'll read some of your thoughts later on.